Blog Talk Radio.
There's a lot of people under the sound of my voice tonight. God has sent for you once. God has sent for you twice and three times. Some of you God has sent for 30 and 40 times. But you stop your ears to the voice of God and you haven't listened to God. But let me tell you something. One of these times God's going to set fire to your barley seed. And there's only one way that God can get you to come. And that's to take something you dearly love.
You know how many times we get in this life to mess up on y'all? Oh, I know all righteous men will fall, but you guess what? Seven times, but you only going to die one time. You ain't going to get to come back and say, y'all, can I do this all over again because I done had a flame of hell on my ass. He ain't going to give you no second and third and fourth, fifth chances. You got one life and that's it. You better live it right.
Why should a sinner repent? Because God deserves the obedience and love that he has refused to give him. Why should a sinner give up all his sins? Why should he be challenged to do it? Why should he make restitution when he's coming to Christ? Because God deserves the obedience that he demands.
The only sin we living in is the past that should have been gone and done away with by the blood. That's why we sit here with a guilty mind and guilty conscience. I guess we're trying to say that, Father, I guess that Yahshua's blood wasn't strong enough or powerful enough to do away with my sin.
God don't delight in ripping you. God warns you. He said, if you don't confess your sins, then I burn your barley seed. God's extended the time again and again. You've laid on your bed at night and you've had God come and wake you up and say, seek my face, child. And you said, not tonight, but later on. Not tonight, but later on. Next week, God. Next month, God. Next year, God.
You got to get rid of the fear from the beginning and leave the warriors. What do you think this walk is? This walk is about the warriors and getting rid of the fearful. Because the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, they're all going to have their part in the lake was burning with fire and brimstone.
Fire! The blood makes atonement for us all.
God, if I've got anything of a life between me and you, God, I'm going to confess it and forsake it. God, search me. God, get everything out of the way.
Hey, Shalom, Israel. Shalom, I hope you can hear you. You hear me? I don't know if I got the right button. Looks like it from here. That might work well, Shane. Maybe I got to wipe my glasses off. Let's see. Hey, blessings to y'all. Hope y'all are encouraged and your hearts are indicted in good matter today. Of course, that's in the kingdom of the Most High. And my faithful brother, JC, coming over. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the audio check, as always. Everybody's pretty much got that one. Don't even have to ask. It just comes that fast. All right, glory to the King. Well, again, I hope you all are blessed or encouraged. A beautiful word given by Elder Rufus yesterday. Very encouraged, as always, to hear the Father speaking to us, you know, to be broken. There's a lot to think about, you know, getting our hearts and our spirits right. Hey, y'all, keep your prayers up for, of course, Pastor and Sister Carol, as you all know, that they are heading north in the cooler weather up there, you know, to see the Northern Saints up there. And I know Brother Ugly and Brother Steve, Sister Wenda, and, you know, The brethren up there, they're excited, man. I can't blame them. Hallelujah. I believe it's going to be a beautiful time. Hallelujah. Anyway, it's good to be back. We traveled to South Carolina last week, kept busy down there for all week, and working on the new community home down there. Oh, boy, that was hot, too. That was off the chain hot. And it's been a long time since I'm in that kind of heat. But, hey, we got through it. The Most High blessed the labor hands, and we are grateful to see the progress. But anyway, tonight's broadcast, the study tonight, it's kind of a, it's the title is not really what you may think it means. The title is Running on Empty. And a lot of times you hear that in the thought that people are, down on, being filled with the Spirit and, that they need to get re-energized. Well, no, it's kind of like that, but it's a little bit going a different direction. Simply because yesterday when Elder Rufus was giving us the word that, he mentioned something that I'm sure y'all heard, that when we had some brethren down here and they were getting prayer for the Holy Spirit, and Elder Rufus was attentive to what was going on in the Spirit, and he walked over and spoke to Elder Donnie, and they kind of shut it down because it was just things that the Spirit wasn't moving. You could tell that the Father wasn't just going to bestow the gift of the Holy Spirit on the brothers at that time. And that got me thinking about, tonight's topic, running on empty, in the point that, first of all, I want to make this disclaimer so people don't get it wrong, that, when brethren, when the saints are getting, trying to get their prayer for the Holy Spirit to get filled with Yah's Holy Spirit, it sometimes just takes two or three times, just a little bit more press, and don't get discouraged. But in some cases, that's what I'm going to address, that there's something hindering, something holding them back. And as we've seen in many cases in the past here, that people believe that they had the Holy Spirit when they didn't get the genuine Holy Spirit. You see it later manifest in their life, that they can start questioning it. And you find that it really wasn't something that they believe that they got, and you can get a witness to it when it's not real. Anyway, that's what we're going to talk to you about tonight. So we'll get started. It should be a short show, maybe over an hour or so. But anyway, for that, again, up front, thank you, Brother Ugly, for, posting up the scriptures and, the definitions and that stuff like that, because it's easier for the saints to follow along, I think, and I appreciate that. Anyway, all right, tonight's topic or tonight's study focuses on running on empty. And when I say that, the term is what I'm talking about is that oftentimes that when brethren, seek prayer for the Holy Spirit to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there's a failure to it, it's because the former self, the former life, everything that was in you, because we're looking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Yah's Holy, and continue being filled with the Holy Spirit. But I use the analogy, it's like, in the kingdom of Yah, you must be completely run empty and then be refilled with the real life, the real Spirit. This isn't a walk, or rather a race, where you can just, top off the tank and mix to the two contrary lives together. You can't overlap them. You have to be totally done with the former beliefs, the former ideas, anything. And the key word that Elder Rufus used yesterday talking about that, then brothers need to do some more repentance in their life. There's something still hindering that a form of unbelief, a form of, we'll get into that, some type of doctrine or something that is withholding the Father from bestowing his gift of his Spirit within somebody. With that, we're going to start in John, the third chapter, verses 1 through 8. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Now, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, Yehudim. The same came to Yahshua by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from Yah, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except Yah be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we know the first step is we have to die to ourselves spiritually, okay? Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? can he enter the second time to his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yah, or the rule and the realm and the authority of the Most High. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound there, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the spirit. So Jesus is using the analogy of the wind. He's using this to help Nicodemus to understand, you know, to some degree, because Nicodemus is still focusing things on the natural and the carnal, to understand to some degree that the newly created man in Christ the Messiah, what it means to be new in the kingdom of heaven, new in Jesus. You know, the inward changes in a born-again child, a child of the king, defy the wisdom, that defies the knowledge and the understanding of those who still are operating the old nature. They just, there's something that there's is not allowing that's the spirit of truth to penetrate. The old corrupt sin-laden spirit of man, it's just there. It's like a you know, a brick wall. You know, others can see those changes in you, the former you, but they have no understanding of how this really came to be. And, you know, much like not knowing the origin and intended path of the wind, if that makes sense. All right, Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 42. Actually, I was my blog talk was going to be on something different to this that I've been, you know, doing here and there for the past few weeks. It's something that I had been working on for months, actually, just a little bit here and there. And then this just got quick to me to do yesterday. So this is, I put it together this afternoon, and that's what we're going to hear. All right, Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 42. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Because, I left out verses 1 through 36, but Peter's given a dissertation. He's talking to them, and the words that he's speaking is actually starting to convict these men about the truth of Jesus Christ, about the power of Yah's kingdom, about what it means to turn from the ways of sin and transgression and to turn their hearts and minds and the love towards, you know, the living creator, the one that made them, all right? And so they hear all this stuff, Peter gets done, and they have a question, man, what do we have to do? Man, men and brethren, what shall we do? What's the end of this thing? What do we need to do? Because we don't want to be condemned. We want to be damned. We want to serve the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the one that Peter just walked with, the one that commanded the apostles to go out and declare the gospel, the good news. And so they hear this, and again, they're saying, what are we supposed to do? And Peter's answer, simple answer. I mean, he gives a step-by-step answer. He says, Then Peter said unto them, the folks that are answering the question, because their heart is there. They want it. They're striving. They want to change. They know it. The power of Yah is convicting them. And Peter said, the number one thing, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And doing all this program, this protocol demanded by Yah, demanded by the Messiah, that back when John the messenger came, he was sent to repent for the kingdom of Yah is at hand. And he said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there had to be conditions met to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I mean, Peter just didn't say, you know, y'all go ahead and sit back and Yah's just going to lay the Holy Spirit on. You know, he gave them conditions they had to meet. All right, the word repent is the Greek 3340, metanoeo, and it means to change one's mind to repent. Throw away the old man thinking, the old ideas, the old doctrines, any little thing that's still keeping us from entering fully in. And then that whereby we can receive the Spirit of Yah. To change one's mind for the better, hardly to amend with abhorrence the one's past sins, just hating the old man, the old flesh, the old ways, just removing everything from you, totally making it. You know, you've heard pastors' testimony, Elder Rufus gave his, and this wasn't just a, you know, like the old Baptist thing where you come to the altar, Jesus, forgive me my sin, you know. There's stories and their testimonies, and they recount these things many times. to know, let people know that, man, this is the energy that was put in behind this repentance, because the Spirit of Yah is pulling at them. And they wanted to totally divest themselves and come clean before the Most High. Acts 2:39, for the promise is unto you. What? Which promise? To receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the promise given to Abraham and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Master Yahshua HaMashiach shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Turn away, get away from everything that you used to know, completely divest yourself. Like the Apostle Paul, you know, he went out, what is that? What book that? I can't remember right off the top of my head. Help me, Father. Oh, it'll come to me. Anyway, where he said that, you know, he went out for 3.5 years and had to completely unlearn everything that he thought he knew. He had to totally divest himself and get rid of everything that was hindering the Spirit of Yah from fully operating in his life. And fully, you know, that would have may possibly hindered him from getting the Holy Spirit. Of course, his came a different way, you know, on the road to Damascus. And, you know, that right there that the Messiah said in the Spirit that he's going to give him the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But anyway, then they gladly received his word. Very important. They gladly received it. There was, you know, dire hope in the heart. There was encouragement. There was, you know, they were illuminated. And they were baptized in the same name. They were added unto them 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and the breaking of bread and prayers. All right, Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5. A psalm of David, Maskil. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. These things are removed. Blessed is the man unto whom Yahweh imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. And David said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. He was crying out to be cleansed, to be purified, to remove any of the old dross, any of the old leaven, anything that may have left over from this residue when he really come to know fully the Most High. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Do you remember, y'all, your born-again experience when Yah was pulling at you? Man, I could tell you from my own experience, I could feel his hand on me the night that he brought me to confess and repent all my sins. And I'm sure many of you heard that, those of you that haven't, it was in January night. It was about 23 below zero in Minnesota, you know, out in the snow next to my driveway in a snowbank with a T-shirt on, and I didn't feel nothing. Out there bawling and snotting. And anyway, I'll let you in on my testimony some other time, but it'd take quite a bit of the show, but hallelujah. I thank the Father for it. But I could feel the weight of these things on me. I don't know if he was letting me know the weight of my sin that was holding me down, or if he was pushing down on me, the presence of the Spirit was so, all I can do, I can tell you, is that I could feel, you know, physically and spiritually the push. And verse 5, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. Key, David acknowledged his sin. He came clean. And mine iniquity have I not hid. And I said, I will confess my transgressions unto Yah. Anything and everything. I want to divest myself of every single thing. For thou gavest the iniquity of my sin. Thou hast forgavest the iniquity. So he wanted to become completely empty, running on empty. Just like there's nothing left, like the old man is about ready to die. The gas tank is empty, so to speak. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. And Paul admonishes the church at Corinth. He says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Look at yourself. You know, are you really truly there? If you're having difficulty getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if something is hindering, examine yourself. Look at yourself. Are you fully in the belief of this faith? Prove your own selves. Are you actually walking upright? What is holding you back? Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? And you're not a reprobate. He's there. The Spirit of Messiah is there. Because you'll reprobate. Well, we'll get to that. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates, meaning Paul is the ones that are speaking to him. The Spirit of Yah is in, and the people can identify that Paul and the ones that are speaking to him are not reprobate in their mind and their thoughts. But the word reprobate is the Greek 96, atokimos. It's from the Greek number 1 and the Greek 1384. It means unapproved. That is rejected. By implication, worthless, a castaway, rejected, reprobate. You know, and I'll add this as a state of actually oftentimes thinking or believing that you might have totally done away with something when there's something still, you know, believing that you're in the faith, serving the Messiah, that you've met all the conditions to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when actually there might be a fragment of the thought that is still grasping something from the old man nature. That's what I'm trying to say. Not saying that people that are going for the baptism of the Holy Spirit are operating a reprobate 9. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to say that Paul is just encouraging these people. Look at yourself. What is hindering you or holding you back? Do a deep examination yourself. All right, Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. Verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, since you believed? But there was a condition again. They had a belief. They were rooted and grounded in the belief and the faith of the Messiah. They had been given, obviously, they had been preached the gospel, the good news. They received it like the men did back in when they asked the question, what shall we do, brother? They heard something, they were convicted. And Paul is recognizing that something missing here. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. So something was lacking in the information, but they still, Paul identified them as believers, okay? And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism, of course, we know is to be immersed in water, but John's whole cry was to repent and be baptized, okay? But his first call was to be repent, and then let's bury the old man under the water. Okay, going on, did I say, yeah, up to verse 7, Acts 19, 1 through 7, if I didn't say that, Brother Paul. Then said Paul, John truly baptized with the baptism of repentance, like I just said, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Yahshua HaMashiach. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. All right, book of Luke, chapter 24, Luke 24, 44 through 49. All right, and again, this is Jesus speaking, of course. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance, there's that word again, repentance, and remission of sins should be preached in the name of his name, the name of Jesus, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So when the apostles were out, this was the commandment that they were given way back then while Jesus was still walking with them before he was taken up into the cloud, as we read in Acts chapter 1. But he said, you go out and you preach repentance and the remission. You totally divest yourself, get rid of all that old junk in you, repent of all your sin, your wickedness, and those things that you did in your mind and in your spirit and your heart is the old man nature. Again, the word repents to change your mind, all right, to turn, to change your mind, and then you'll receive the remission of these sins. and be covered by the blood of Jesus. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father on you, but you tarry here in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Okay, the word remission, as it's used in the 47th verse we just read in Luke 24, is the Greek 859, aphesis. And this is the Thayer definition, Brother Paul. And it means to release from bondage or imprisonment, forgive or pardon of sins, letting them go as if they had never been committed. Remission of penalty, completely cleansed, be emptied of all this past garbage and junk and the sin nature, the Adamic nature that we carried with us all of our lives before the Spirit of Yah came upon us and put us on our knees in repentance. Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 24. Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 24. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving him out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man has the great power of Yah. And to him they had regard because of that long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. And when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of Yah and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So again, we have another disciple of Yah coming in here, that Philip, and he's preaching the things concerning the kingdom, which is repentance. Repent, turn from your wicked ways, receive the remission or the letting go of and the forgiveness of your sins. Then Simon himself believed all. Simon actually heard what was going on. He could hear it, something. Hey, man, this man is telling the truth. And he was baptized, and he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of Yah, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Master Yahshua, Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Of course, now this is a lot of times what is happening in the minds and the hearts of some of these people. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example that, you know, this fool that we all prayed against not too long ago, Steve Campanelli, time and time again, he was just one of the later examples that he was seeking the baptism. He would wear the brothers out trying to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but there's always something hidden in his heart, hidden deep. And the Father knew it too. He was never clean. He never emptied himself, divested himself of all the things that should have been done away with. I mean, there was still too much of the old him in here, and we're going to get to talking more about that agreement between us and the Father and how that enters into this, but this man never could receive it, and the Father could obviously see it, and we always knew there was something blocking him, and you couldn't tell the brother, you know, you couldn't tell him that, hey, you got some, you know, perverse things still operating, and the Father is not going to bestow upon you a gift while you're still holding on to some of that old trash. And he just refused to let go of it. Now, I'm not saying that, again, the disclaimer, it's not, you know, other people that have tried, even currently in the ministry and have failed, I'm not saying that applies to you. What I'm saying that what you need to do is find out and make sure that the possibility, like Paul said, examine yourself, that there might be something holding you back, that you're setting condition on Yah to receive the Holy Spirit, and he's not going to buy it. He's not going to go for it. You have to be totally running on empty, be divested, be zeroed out of the old nature, the old man, so he can be completely infilled with the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, of course. And I had that conversation with some guy the other day, again, but I won't get into that. Then he laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, okay? Now, Simon was laying on something natural in order to gain something spiritual. He had his own preconceived notion of what would be a justifiable and acceptable before the servants of the Most High to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He set conditions. And, you know, and of course, he wasn't going to receive nothing. And he said, saying in verse 19, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto thee, thy money perish with thee because thou hast thought. You had a thought, Simon. You had a condition. You had a preconceived idea and notion that this was going to, the Holy Spirit was going to be made available to you by offering this before the Most High. Because he's going to hear what Simon is saying. He knows the thoughts and intents of a man's heart. He knows what's going on in the inner man. Thy money perish with thee because thou hast thought that the gift of Yah may be purchased money. Totally deceived in his own self. He wasn't cleansed out. He didn't meet the conditions of total repentance. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, and the matter being the baptism, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For what? What is happening here with Simon? And might be happening with some other people. For thy heart is not right in the sight of Yah. The conditions aren't there. They aren't met to receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit because your heart's not right before the Most High. You know, though the oh my goodness. Well, I got my little notes here on the side. I can't even read. That's terrible. Okay, anyway. Oh, many people have thought that this gift of Yah, his Holy Spirit, came by understanding, you know, the Jewish doctrines, you know, applying himself to much study, knowing the whole Torah, as we see that some people, you know, these especially the black Hebrews like camps believe that they have their salvation in the Torah, believing by knowing the law that the Spirit of the Most High, that is what's going to get them into the kingdom. You know, by simply acknowledging the deity of Yah, but of course, all these things, and the list can go on, but never, ever truly entering to a heartfelt repentance, to be divested, to be completely emptied of yourself so you can be refilled with that baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verses 22 through 24. Oh, we're still, oh my goodness. Acts chapter, we're still continuing. Everybody, I got a little mixed up here. On the 22nd verse, repent therefore of thy wickedness. What's the first thing that Peter told Simon? He said, man, repent. It's a wicked way. Repent for there of thy wickedness and pray that, Yah, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray to the Most High for me that none of these things which have spoken come upon me. This is crazy. That phone don't ever read Don Blanc Talk. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and take a quick ministry break, and we'll be all right back. Let me see if I can see it up here. Here it is. All right, bless y'all. See you in a minute.
Shalom. This is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615 688 1-615-685-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Shalom, shalom, we're back. Man, there's all kind of crazy stuff going on, distractions and the speakers going fritzy and what in the world. Anyway, hallelujah, we're back. Bless y'all. Appreciate y'all hanging in there. All right, glory to the King. All right, continuing on. Luke chapter 11, verses 33-36. And Yahshua said, "No man, when he lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thy eye is single, it's focused, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thy eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness." And when Jesus is saying this, you know, he's talking about that when you're singular focused, when all your energy is towards only one direction. And of course, that's the kingdom. But he's given us two conditions. But if your eye is evil, meaning that if you're looking, you're still holding on to the former self or those things of the other. There's actually, you have two kingdoms fighting within you, or two kingdoms pulling for your attention. And no man can serve two masters. So you need that single focus, that single light. And that should be the direction of the thought of every saint of the Most High. Let your light, your focus, your eye be single. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Don't be deceived, thinking that you've got everything figured out, laid aside. You've been completely, have divested yourself of the former and the fact there's still too much of the old residue left. You know, counting on yourself as part of your means to salvation. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle does give thee light. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Yahshua, in the Messiah, he is a new creature. New, brand new, renewed. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Again, the direction, the focus, the instruction here that we need to take heed to is that we are new creatures, that there's nothing from behind, nothing that we've held on to, no strings attached from the former self. Luke chapter 5, verses 36 to 39. Luke 5, 36 to 39. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old, if otherwise both the new maketh rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine in old bottles. It's not going to happen. I mean, he's giving you a natural understanding of something that, you know, they identified even today. We can easily rely on what Jesus is saying. We can easily see the demonstration, the application was what he was trying to present to us first naturally so we can understand it spiritually. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. And we're dealing with the same thing of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. So Jesus basically telling you can't take and apply. Oh, let's finish verse 39. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he said, this old is better. Being, that's that form of that reprobate mind, that's being drawn back still to the former self. That's those that say that their light is focus is straight, but the possibility quite good is they're still serving two kingdoms, and that's not going to happen. So Yahshua seeth, he knows this. I mean, the Most High can recognize this, and he's not going to pour his Holy Spirit. I'll give you a gift and a container and a vessel that can't contain it. You must be emptied, become new in order to receive that gift, that baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 15, verses 4 through 9. Acts 15, 4 through 9. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church, the assembly, and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that Yah had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago Yah made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Yeah, the good news of the gospel, the faith, the belief in Jesus Christ, repent, and you'll receive the mission of remission of sin, or the forgiveness of sin. And Yah, which knoweth the hearts, again, there it is, there's the condition. He knows the hearts of man. Bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. He knows which men are ready to receive the Holy Spirit. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith, getting them ready, and the continual process of purification. The word purify is the Greek 25:11, and it means to cleanse. Literally or figuratively, to cleanse, cleansing their hearts by faith, by the belief in the kingdom of Yah, in the words of the Messiah, in knowing that you need to be clean, you need to repent, and this is the only recourse that there is to acknowledge that you are a sinner before, that you've done these things in the past, that you no longer you want to turn from them and get the remission to be covered by the blood, and you can be cleansed. Psalm 78, verse 22. Let me see, 22 through, that's a big one. Psalm 78, 22-37. Starting in verse 22, because they believed not Yah and trusted not in his salvation. Again, right here up front, we have the same condition that still exists today in the hearts of some of the people, some of the saints. Because they believed not Yah and trusted not in his salvation. Though he commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and rained down manna upon them to eat and given them of the corn of the heaven, he did all these great and mighty things like he does for us today. You know, literally wake up every morning. That is what a real blessing. I mean, if anything, we should appreciate that gift from Yah every day that we can wake up and serve him and spend one more day getting our hearts and minds prepared, getting our whole bodies purified and ready for the coming of the Messiah. And he had rained down manna upon them to eat and given them the corn of heaven, you know, sustaining their physical selves. Man did eat angels' food, and he sent them meat to the full. And he caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled, and he gave them their own desire. But something happened. They were not estranged from their lust. There was still something hanging on to them. You know, Father had done this great salvation, this great deliverance, showed him his mighty power, revealed his spirit to them. They still were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths. The word estranged is the Hebrew 21:14. It means to be strange, be a stranger, become a stranger. This is the Brown Driver Briggs definition. Strange, another, foreign or an enemy. They were not enemy to their lust. They were not foreigners. They were not alienated from their lust. They were still hanging on to these things that were supposed to be clearly left behind in Egypt. Loathsome, strange woman, prostitute, harlots, to be estranged, to be a stranger, to be one alienated. All right, verse 31. And the wrath of Yah came upon them and slew the Phasdim and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they thought they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after Yah. And they remembered that Yah was their rock, and it came back in their mind. Man, Yah, he's the one that delivered us. He's the one that saved us out of our bondage and delivered us from our captivity. That he was their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. And again, the Father knows the intent, and he knows the heart of man. He knows what is sincere. And sometimes, again, that this may be what's preventing somebody from receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's just still in reserve something there that, you know, they can make a confession that they're saints of the Most High, that they're serving Yah, but in fact they're still retaining, holding something. They have not completely repented and done away with everything. Everything that they think would help bring them their salvation, when salvation can only come by the Master Jesus Christ. Verse 37, for their heart was not right with him. Again, a condition of the heart. Neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Interesting statement there. The word covenant is the Hebrew 1285, berith. It's from the Hebrew 1260, this is the Strong's, in the sense of cutting, like the Hebrew 1254. It means a compact, because made by passing between pieces of flesh, a confederacy, a covenant, a league. It's an agreement. So their heart was not right in them, neither were they steadfast. Yah made a covenant with his people. You know, you keep my commands, my laws, my statutes, obey me, and, you know, you just follow me wholeheartedly. Don't leave everything behind. I've delivered you, taken you out of captivity, and this is my promise to you if you keep these things first and foremost and right before me. But they made an agreement, so we entered into a covenant agreement. And breaking Yah's agreement that, you know, we have, that our people have with him by covenant promise, puts the Father in a position that he cannot honor our agreement with him. I mean, in the natural, if you make an agreement with anybody, a covenant, a handshake, they call it a contract today, whatever the case is, and one half of the business deal there, somebody dishonors that, you can't commit yourself to the other. How could you? I mean, if you're a practical, sound businessman, you're not going to go ahead and commit to a somebody on the other side that reneged on their promise to keep that honor between you two, that honor, that covenant. And who would expect Yah to do anything more? And of course he's not going to. I mean, who's going to commit anything further to this? Who's going to fulfill this thing? Verse 38, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time he turned away his anger, and he did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, and when passeth away and cometh not again. And how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness, to grieve him in the desert. Yea, they turned back and tempted Yah, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. He can't, you put him in a position where he can't do anything for you. I mean, how can he give you the baptism of the Holy Spirit when we're the ones responsible for putting him in the position by breaking our covenant agreement? We were born again, not divesting ourselves and repenting of everything and leaning to our own understanding, dragging all that, some of that mess with us, setting conditions before him that he's not going to agree to. He will not agree to them. No, that's limiting the Holy One, and that's our fault, not Yah's, of course. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 through 23. Again, this is the covenant, the agreement, the compact, the league, that I will make with them, or my people, after those days, saith the Most High. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Again, we entered into a covenant agreement with Yah when we were born again. We made an agreement, we were going to walk into holiness. First of all, we're going to repent and turn from all these former ways, these former sins, these former understandings, these former doctrines, idealisms, whatever, completely remove all this stuff and start fresh and new. That means when you're born again as a babe, you don't know anything. Even in the natural, people don't know. They're supposed to be emptied, but how can you carry something over from your past life into a new creature, a new bottle? And it's going to cause problems. You know, we made an agreement to walk in holiness and repentance, to purify our hearts by faith and remove ourselves from our former selves in those ways. Like I said, the ideas, traditions to hold now, hold fast to the ways of the Most High and being transformed into the image of our Messiah in the inner man. All right, verse 17, continue on to Hebrews. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. But what if we're still remembering them? You know, what if we're still holding on to him? Yeah, so he's not going to, but what if we are and we're limiting him from doing what he would said he would do? He would give you remission if you repent and get cleansed, get emptied. Now, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. And again, remission cannot be made when things are not laid at the foot of the altar and repented for. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, because we have been cleansed and purified by a new and living way, not the old way, not the other way, not the former life, but by this new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us or made holy through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having high priest over the house, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Full assurance, being fully assured. So knowing that all these things are, and you can go before the Most High and ask to receive the gift of the baptism, having that full assurance that you've done away and repented, removed all this stuff, that you're clean, and there's nothing hindering or blocking the Father, limiting him from giving you the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. All right, Acts chapter 5, verse 29 through 32. Acts chapter 5, 29 through 32. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey Yah rather than man. And the Elohim of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hands to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Spirit, whom Yah hath given to them that obey him. So there again, there's another. If you're having difficulty receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, see if there's somewhere area in your life where you're holding some level of disobedience towards the Father in your heart. Check, examine yourselves, like Paul said, to see whether you're being total belief in the faith, totally laying down and removing all that hindrances and every weight that does so easily beset us. All right, the word obey in Acts 5:32 is the Greek 3980. I'm not going to pronounce the Greek word, but it means to be persuaded by a ruler. That is generally to submit to authority, to acknowledge, to conform to advice, to hearken, to obey. So it's an act of submission, completely turning our lives and our hearts over to the Most High. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 4. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Master Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please Yah, so ye would abound more and more. Yah puts righteous men before us as examples of how to walk, holy men, of course, there's another distraction. And to be examples, and the biggest example we have in the ministry, of course, Pastor Dow. I can't think anybody that puts on and not to say that there's nobody else, but has more determination to live upright and holy and in a matter pleasing to the Most High, no matter what the cost. And that is probably the best example that any of us can ever have of somebody that Yah's given us in the flesh. Furthermore, we then beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the masters, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk to please Yah, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Master Jesus. For this is the will of the Father, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you, all of us, should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Words of Paul, we should know how to possess, and we should know how to take care of ourselves. We should know how to remove and get rid of and undo and let go of any ideology, anything, any sin nature, anything that would keep us from being in such a state that we couldn't receive, be filled again with the Holy Spirit, or have the first time baptism in the Holy Spirit. But hey, believe it or not, that is the end of the study. I knew it would be a quick one. Like I said, I just put it together afternoon in a few hours, which is totally unusual for me. I spend, literally weeks looking stuff, researching, letting the Spirit speak my mind about. But I guess this is what the Father wanted me to talk tonight, and praise his holy name. He's worthy of all honor and praise. But hey, thank you all for tuning in tonight, this 1 hour session of Blog Talk. Again, I ask, and that everybody already knows, keep your prayers for, like Pastor said, and they came in through Blog Talk, and he said, of course, on a few other occasions, for our dear Elder Felix up there, Brother Dominic. The devil is a lie. Yah is the healer. Hallelujah. Hey, shalom to everybody in the chat room. My blessing, yo. Thank you for the kind words. I really appreciate it. The Most High is worthy. Hey, y'all have a blessed week. Be encouraged. Pray for one of them. Maybe healed. Pray for the authority in Israel, and especially for Pastor Dow and Sister Carol as they're, again, making their way there up to the northern tribe. Anyway, I think that's about it. So, hey, y'all have a blessed week. Be encouraged. Keep looking up. Stay sober, as always, because our adversary is always on the prowl to try and take you out of this race. All right? Hey, blessings, y'all. Y'all have a good week. Shalom. The King is coming.